Welcome to Healed Adjacent, where my overflow contributes to your cup. I'm your host, Yazzie G, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready to laugh. All right, y'all, I am back outside for this episode because I enjoyed recording outside so much last week, and today it's not even as hot. It's shaded on my porch, so I am a happy camper. I am happy to be recording a little late in the day, but I was up until like 4 a.m. because my sleep schedule is so off. So I didn't wake up until 12. I go to record. The mics aren't charged. So I had to get that done. And now here we are finally recording. So happy to be here. Let's jump right into it with our quote of the day. This is actually an excerpt. Well, it is a piece from a few sentences, literally, from a poem that I recently read, and I really enjoyed it, so I'm going to share it. Here it is. So, if you're tired of being fed on, stop mistaking the hunger in their eyes for the depth in their soul. That's not cruelty. That's wisdom. That's loving efficiently. Y'all. Tell me that's not a word. Like, tell me that doesn't eat. Tell me that doesn't speak to you. I absolutely love that. Like, that quote kind of talks about seeing the potential in someone or something, and, you know, mistaking that for what actually is, and being someone who people really love to be around because you feed them with your energy, with your light, with your love, with your personality, with your humor. You know, they have energy vampires. Like, one of my least favorite professors in college had us identify our energy vampires our senior year, our last semester. And that actually stuck with me. Like, I didn't like her, but I will admit, a lot of what she did stuck with me till this day. And so, you know, you have to be careful who you give your energy to. And it's like, when you mistake that potential, you know, for what really is, sometimes you have to call your energy back and see things for what they are. Like, I know, especially in romantic relationships recently, being out of that mindset, you could be very blinded by your feelings if you're someone who feels, you know, very big. I have very big feelings, so sometimes they can kind of consume me and be a little overwhelming. But I absolutely love that this quote is just basically telling you to have some discernment, and that is loving efficiently. You know, that is functioning according to purpose. So, yeah. All right, let's move. High, low, buffalo. So my high this week. Sorry, this is funny. So I have decided to step back, like, outside over these last couple of weeks. And it has been amazing. I've been saying I have one foot on the sidewalk and one foot in the street, because the streets are definitely welcoming me back with open and warm hugs. Do you hear me? But I'm a little weary, so I'm like, I have a foot on the sidewalk because, you know, there's a lot that Yasmin needs to get done before, you know, really hopping back into that scene full force. But it is exciting to just dip my foot in, to have a little taste, you know. So that's been fun, just, you know, exploring that side of myself again and being flirty. Like, I am really enjoying it, 10 out of 10. My low this week, oh my gosh. So this is going to be TMI. This is going to be TMI, so maybe fast forward if you don't want to hear. But when I was a little girl, like, I'm talking the age of like 3 till about 8, I had tummy issues. Like, I used to be very constipated, like, often. And then as I got older, I don't know, it just kind of stopped happening. And so I guess it was never really an issue after that until recently. I would say within the past like 2 years, so moving from Louisiana to Texas, In the time that I've been in Texas, that problem has been back many a times, and I'm realizing that I might have IBS or something, because I've been Googling, just to stay away from Google, but Googling my symptoms, and I'm like, okay, I really think that there is something larger at play here outside of just like my diet, my water intake. Like, I will say, because the summer has started, I have not been moving around as much. So with now like having these problems and it being reoccurring, I'm like, okay, maybe I need to start going for a walk at some point in my day, getting my steps in, because a lack of movement can, cause these tummy issues. So can not having enough water, not having enough fiber in your diet. My diet hasn't changed. My water intake has decreased. I don't know. I just feel like when I was teaching, when I was moving, I always made it a point to drink water. Like, I was drinking like 3, 4 bottles of water a day. And now it's just not like that. So just lifestyle changes, I'm sure, is kind of the cause of it. But the fact that it happens so frequently, I feel like, or more frequently than it should, let me say that. I definitely think I should go to a doctor and figure out what's happening. So yeah, that is my low. My buffalo, oh my gosh. So, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. The song Folded by Kehlani has absolutely gone platinum in this house. Okay? Like, y'all, every time it gets to the end, I literally just rewind it. It's like, honestly, she gets through the first verse and I'm like, turn it back. Cut it back. Like, I go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, restart, because it's so good. Oh my gosh, it's so good. She just did such an excellent job of embodying literally all the things that I feel or have felt recently regarding my heartbreak. Like, there's a part where she's like, what does she say? She says, something about, oh, I know I didn't have to walk away. All I had to do was ask for space. And it's like, that gets me every time, because that's a literal conversation I had with him, was about, or we had with one another about taking space versus walking away completely, and what taking space would look like, and all the things. And it's just like, oh my gosh, like I chose to walk away, and that's that. But I was like, ugh, I could have just asked for some space. It's just so good. It's so good. Like, I love what music makes me feel. Music has always been a very, very big part of my life. Like, when I hear a song, I go back to a time, I go back to a memory, I go back to a moment of feeling, and it's just very, very powerful. Like, I care about what goes into my ears. Those are very, very precious to me. And I absolutely love music. Like, I have playlists that I'm still making them. Like, they're made, but I'm still adding songs, but they are colors. So every once, well, not every once in a while, qu quite often actually, I might hear a song and it makes me think of and feel a color. So right now I have orange, indigo, green, and yellow. Those are the four colors that I've made so far. I really want to make a brown. Brown is just so buttery. It's so smooth. You know it when you hear it. The same thing with yellow. Yellow is just so bright. It's uplifting. It invokes joy. Orange is like somewhere between energetic but like peaceful. It can be upbeat. It can be fast tempo. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. Indigo is deep. It's all like my songs with super heavy bass. Very meaningful lyrics. Like, so Indigo is just, it's deep. That's the best way I can describe it. It's layered, but yeah. So oh, and green. Green is my favorite color. And you know what? Now that I'm saying green is my favorite color, it's like I can't even really explain to you why. In all shades of green, and even in music, green makes me feel Green has like a hint of nostalgia in it. And now that I'm saying that, when I'm done recording, I'm gonna go look at my Green playlist because I wonder if I put like old songs in there. Because sometimes like I run back through like random songs that I have in my library and I'm like, ooh, this makes me feel a color. Because not all songs make me feel colors. Like it's only some songs. But the ones that do, they're pretty, you know, strong feelings. Anyway, I went on a whole tangent. My buffalo is that I'm in love with Folded by Kehlani. It is an excellent song. She actually said that it is her biggest song of her career, and it is so well deserved. I love Kehlani. I've been to one of her concerts. I want to go whenever she's back on tour. Like, love her down. I'm definitely a fan. So, yeah. All right, let's move to out of school education. I'm excited to talk about this. So, I really don't remember what triggered this thought, but it came to me earlier in the week. And I was like, write that down, write that down. That's good. So, I was like, you know, the first thing that happens before an idea even becomes an idea is that it's a thought, right? You think about something. And then that thought evokes feelings. And then many times we act on those feelings, and that leads to believing. And I feel like some people may ask, well, what surpasses belief? And I would say knowing. And so my out of school education has just been in paying very close attention to that process. To the thought, the feeling that follows, the belief after that, and then what do I know at the end of the day from all of those thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. And when I sat down and asked myself that, I realized that a lot of what I hold stops at belief, that there is so much that I am unsure of or that I just don't. No. And that's nothing, I don't think anything is wrong with that. And it's so funny that I say that because I distinctly remember when I was in high school, if I asked somebody a question and what came out of their mouth was, I don't know, it would frustrate the mess out of me. Like I cannot stand when I was in high school, I hated to hear that answer because it's like, no, I need you to know. Like I'm not asking you this to hear myself talk. I'm asking because I need an answer, and I don't know does not suffice. Baby, I was strict. Okay. I was very strict in high school. I mean, I still am, but like, whoo, I was on another level. But yeah, no, I what do I know? I literally hated not knowing. I hated when other people didn't know. So to now be like, oh, I don't know. To now be like, a lot of what I hold stops at belief is really. It's not like world shattering. I feel like that's quite dramatic. It is just, it's really like looking in a mirror and not recognizing what you see. And that's not a bad thing for me. I just really, I don't think I ever thought that I would learn some of these things about myself or uncover some of these things about myself and realize, you know, how I'm actually moving in the physical world and how I'm presenting myself and how I'm being perceived. Like the Yasmin that I have been for so long wasn't sure. Like I knew I would make it to this, but I didn't think it would happen so quickly, I guess. Which is crazy because it's like, given my history, given what I know about myself, not believe, but what I actually know about myself, of course I came this far this quickly. Like, and that's literally, that's not me, you know, tooting my own horn. That's just me giving myself my flowers, you know? And it's important that we do that we realize how far we've come, even if it wasn't quick, you know, it feels quick, you know, time is not real. So I'm saying it was quick. It took what I would say at least, I mean, it took my whole life, 24 years, you know, to get here. But I don't know. I thought maybe here looked like, mentally at least, looked like 26, which is scary now that I'm 24 and I have this mindset and I'm like, oh my gosh, if I still thought this way at 26, like, Houston, we have a problem. Because no, absolutely not. But speaking of, and this is a random tangent. Let me just go here for a second. I'm so excited to be 25. I'm a fresh 24. I haven't even been 24 for a full month. But you know, the girlies are saying it really just starts clicking and I'm ready for it to click. I mean, it's already clicking. You know, I could feel it. She's like, I would say 80% developed, the frontal lobe, you know, we're almost there. I feel her closing in. But anyways, back to it. That was just, you know, my random little tidbit. But yes, no, I have really been working on identifying what thoughts are productive, what thoughts need to just kind of, you know, be a thought, come through and pass. And then what feelings do I have? Once I've kind of sorted through the thoughts and I'm, you know, I have the ones that I've chosen to feel, to go further with, what am I feeling? Why do I feel that? And I sit and I start asking myself those questions. And, you know, we've gotten to that point in my therapy sessions where she's asking me those questions. So I'm now asking myself those questions outside of those sessions. Like recently, I feel like she's asked me why a lot. And I haven't had an answer most of the time. And that's what, you know, led me to realizing that a lot of where I am is belief. It's not, no, I literally do not know. And it's kind of scary, but at the same time, I'm enjoying not knowing. Like, okay, do y'all know the song Lotus Flower Bomb? The intro says, I want to enjoy the luxury of not knowing each other for real. And I kind of apply that to myself right now. I'm enjoying the luxury of not really knowing what I want. Because once I do, once I really know, then I gotta have it. You know what I mean? And that's a whole different ball game. And I'm excited for that. That's an adventure that I will embark on later in life. But right now, I don't know. And I want to enjoy kind of the childlike peacefulness that comes with that. Like the ignorance, honestly. And that's not to say that I'm not actively and passively educating myself and furthering myself, because I definitely am, but I am just enjoying the process. You know, I don't want to rush it. Am I excited to be 25 and have the prefrontal cortex be developed? Absolutely. But am I trying to be present and really enjoy 24? Yes. So I take what I feel from those thoughts. And then I form them into what I believe. And that's something else that we've been working on in my sessions is asking, well, what do you believe about yourself? What do you value? You know, where does your purpose come from? Where does your fulfillment come from? Really just being insightful. And so that's where I am. I can't speak to the no because I'm not there yet. But I'm at the belief. I can tell you some things that I believe. I know a few things as well, but, you know, not as much as I believe. And I'm okay with that. And I kind of have to be, unless I want to spiral, and I don't. So you think, you feel, you believe, you know. And it's important to really have discernment in that feeling part. You know, you have to discern because feelings aren't fact. That was like what one of my first episodes, if not the first episode, first or second episode of the podcast. So you discern, you know, what do I need to keep? What can truly move to belief? And you know, something can move to belief when it's like in the physical. You know what I mean? If you don't think you're pretty, And when you're out in public, people compliment your physical features. It's safe to believe that you are pretty. If you don't think you're smart, yet everyone is always asking you the questions, safe to believe that you are smart. It's really all about your perception, your self-worth, how much you believe in yourself and what you know to be true, and what your physical reality mirrors back to you. Because that is what you're giving out. That is what you're feeling and believing. That is what your energy is transferred as, those feelings. That's the way that you show up in the world. So yeah, I'm gonna get off my soapbox. Let's move to this is for becoming. So it actually ties perfectly into what I was just saying in the latter half of the previous segment, because my this is for becoming is for strengthening my discernment, for taking my feelings and sifting through them, making sure that it's the same way I want to pour pure water into others' cups. I want to pour that into my cup because I'm coming to you out of overflow. So whatever is pouring out of my cup is what you get. So I gotta pour, purely and clearly into my cup as well. And so I've been realizing how important it is for me to discern the environments that I'm in, to discern, the verbiage that I choose to describe myself, to speak to myself with, to speak to others, who I choose to give my time and energy to, what I choose to give my time and energy to, and really just knowing, right? Moving into the know. I told you I'm at the belief for the most part, but I'm strengthening my discernment so that I can move into the know. So that I can know, all right, this is a room that I can walk in. So that I can know this is a room I can stay in. So that I know this is a gift I can sustain. And I'm excited to get there. I really, really am. But I'm so present in where I am and enjoying it. And not taking it for granted. We take so much for granted, and I enjoy being intentional. And a part of that is saying thank you for the little things. So yeah, that one was kind of short, but that's all I had to say on that. That's me also using my discernment right there, and knowing when what I've said is enough, when I've gotten my point across, when I've said all that is on my heart and moving from there. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to watch myself do that in real time. It's a blessing. It really is. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. It's all the things. All right. Next, we're moving into God's purpose, and I'm really excited for this one as well. So, did I just say God's purpose? I did. God's promise. Can I read today? I don't know. God's promise, not God's purpose. So, I found out apparently that it's not my job to tell me no. And so God has been very much like, hey, guess who has control? Guess who has the last say? Guess who tells you yes or no? And I'm like, oh, my bad, Big Daddy. I didn't mean to step on no toes. I'm a relax. So yeah, he's been like, I promise to guide you, to lead you, to let you know when to move, to let you know yes, to let you know no, to let you know right, left, forward, backwards, a new direction. It's all about trusting. And right now we are in a great space, God and myself and our relationship, because he is equipping me with increased discernment and stronger discernment, and that in turn is strengthening my faith in him, because that's exactly what I'm gonna need in this season. And I think last episode I briefly touched on how in every season that I was in, there was a different trait that God really kind of honed in on and pruned for me, in me, with me, through me. And so in this season, it's discernment. Before I've had a season of patience. Baby, that was a long season. It was long. rightfully so. That literally comes with the territory. That is the name of the game. But I can appreciate that he took the time to give me exactly what I needed in this season, in each season, and continues to do it in this season. So thank you, God, for showing up, for reminding me that it is not my job to tell me no. Period. Amen. God is so good. All right, let's move into our last segment, which is food for thought. So I have another story from my schooling days. This is when I really wanted to tell a couple weeks ago, actually. I think when I first, switched up the segments, but I forgot about it. And so I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and tell this story on the next episode of the pod. So this takes place on a field trip, actually. So for the school that I worked at, the last week of school was comp testing for the upper school. So what was it, like 9th, 10th grade, maybe? Maybe 8th grade? I really don't know. But look, if it wasn't primary school, I couldn't tell you what was going on. But they had big state testing. So everyone else was off campus for field trips for 3 days while the kids were testing. So on one of the days, we went to a botanical garden with the kids. And we only had about 20 kids from my class actually go on the field trip. In total, I had 33 students, and 20 of them made it to the field trip. 20 or so, give or take. Anyways, so we're at the botanical garden, and one of my students, I'm gonna name him Starlight. Starlight is the cutest little thing you have ever seen. Okay? He is super short, he was one of the shortest ones in my class. The cutest little hair. Black, like wavy hair, missing teeth in the front, like front tooth completely missing, high squeaky voice, so funny, has a little bit of anger, like so much anger in such a small body, but is so cute. Like, oh, he was just precious. Starlight was quite rambunctious when it came to what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. Now, I was able to reel him in the classroom, but from what mom was telling me in some of our parent-teacher conferences, he was wilding out at home. Or let me say wilding out in my opinion, because he really was a good kid. He wasn't being crazy. He was definitely just being a kid. But he was kidding. He was kidding bad. And I was like, okay, interesting. I see a little bit of that in the classroom, but not too much. So it's never really a concern. Like, I just had to usually find a creative way to reel him in. So we're on this field trip, and I'm noticing that Mr. Starlight is really having a hard time listening to mom because she's one of the chaperones. And I when for field trips, if your parent is there, I expect your parent to parent you. You know what I mean? Like, I know that it is my job to be your teacher, right? So I'm obviously going to correct you and keep you in line according to my rules because I am responsible for you. However, your parent is here and I trust them to be a parent. So like, I just kind of stay out of it. I let her be a parent because I felt like it wasn't my place in those moments to go behind her and continue to correct him. For small things, maybe she wasn't paying attention to. Yes, I was like, hey, whatever, whatever. Don't do that. Do this, whatever. So we're nearing the end of the field trip. And Starlight's mom is telling him, like, hey, come on, everybody's lining up. Like, we need to go. You're done playing in the water, basically. Starlight turns around, looks at her. Listens to her say this turns back around and continues to play. Y'all, when I saw that, I think my soul left my body for a second. Truly, truly, because I was having flashbacks. You know what I mean? Because never in all my days has that been acceptable. And so mom is continuing to call Starlight. She's like, Starlight, Starlight, you know, we need to go. Y'all, I never hopped up so fast up out of my seat. And I went over to Starlight. I said, Starlight, come see. Let me have a conversation with you. Because y'all, I was so fed up. I was like, Starlight, did you hear your mom? Did you hear her calling you? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And you still continued to play. So I was like, so tell me, do we feel like that was a good choice? And he was like, no. And I said, okay. So what would have been a better choice? Would listening to mom have been a better choice? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm glad we're on the same page. And I was like, for the remainder of this field trip, mind you, the field trip's over. We're about to get on the bus. But I'm like, for the remainder of this field trip, if you were not listening to mom, you and I will have a very big problem. And he's like, heard, got it. I don't have no more problems out of Starlight. Beautiful. And I really just, I can't believe, right? So that was maybe day two. We had 3 days of field trips, right? So day three comes around. Starlight's mom is not chaperoning. And after seeing him behave the way he did yesterday, I'm already like, I'm ready. I'm on one. So that morning, I'm like, Starlight, come see. Come talk to Miss Yasmin. Let's have a talk. And I'm like, hey, look, here's the deal. Mommy's not here to chaperone today. And we actually didn't have any chaperones that day. It was just going to be teachers from my class because we just didn't have any parent volunteers for day three of field trips. Understandable. It was the day before the last day of school. So, you know, things happen. Anyways, I'm like, Starlight, come see. Let's have a talk. And so I'm telling him, I'm just like, hey, look, when we're on our field trip today, I was like, I need you to be a superhero, right? I'm like, look, if Miss Yasmin calls your name, it's because I am in danger and I am in dire need of superhero Starlight's help. So when I call your name, I need you to come running. Oh my gosh. I'm alive. It's okay, guys. I promise I don't live in a sketchy neighborhood. They're over there doing like construction. But anyways, no, I'm like, I need you to come running because Miss Yasmin's in trouble. Like, if I call your name, it needs to be quick, fast, in a hurry. He's like, okay, cool. And so I'm like, okay, so what did I just say? What happens when I call your name? What do you do? He's like, I come running like a superhero. Perfect. Great. Love it. We had an excellent time day three of the field trip, and I had no problems out of Starlight. Like, oh my gosh, I love being a teacher because it's like all the perks without the like extra stuff. Like, I get to return them at the end of the day, but it's like, it's so funny when I hear from parents the difference between school and home and what that behavior difference looks like. Because in the classroom, you know, obviously I see a little bit of that, but 9 times out of 10, like, my parents would always tell me, like, you know, this is how they are at home. And I'm like, oh, I don't really see too much of that in the classroom. Like, I don't know what's going on. And so a lot of the times the parents were like, well, can you just talk to them? You know, like, what you say really means a lot to them and it goes a lot further sometimes. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, sure. Like, I'll have a conversation with them. Of course, I don't mind. But, you know, I hope it makes a difference. And I've also seen firsthand, you know, with the parents and students, how they act. And so I get a good glimpse of what goes on at home. I just don't see it in the classroom as much when I'm with them. Like, perfect example, I have an amazing student who I absolutely love. And I really don't know if I actually told this story already or not. I hope not. Okay, no, I didn't. I'm looking at my list of stories, and no, I didn't. But this is quick because, oh my gosh, how long have we been recording? Okay, we're at 34 minutes. All right. One of my precious babies was leaving on the last day of school, and she was just having meltdown after meltdown, and her para couldn't really get her together. Mom was struggling to get her together, and I'm like, what's happening? Because I've seen her kind of fall out, you know, like we've had a few instances, but like she was really on one this day, and I'm like, girl, what is wrong with you? And so I'm letting them do they do. Like I'm off in the corner, I'm watching it happen, but I'm like, it's the last day of school, bruh. Like I don't got it. I'm ready to go home. But I walk on over there and I'm like, hey, princess, this is not what we're gonna do. Get up off that floor. I said, we're gonna take some deep breaths. We sat there, we took some deep breaths together. I said, now let's use your big girl where she Miss Yasmin can't understand you when you're doing all that. Take another deep breath, calm yourself down, and then when you are ready, use your big girl words to tell me what you're feeling. She takes a moment, tells me what she's feeling. We talk about it. We find a solution, right? As we always do. As we literally always do. If there is one thing I am, it is consistent when it comes to their emotional well-being, okay? I do not play that. I always want to validate them because I would always tell them, whatever problem you have, we will come up with a solution together. And I was consistent in that, in both, in I was consistent with that verbally and also physically. And so she just gave me a big hug. And my girl left, you know? And that was that. And they were like, you're literally, that is such a loud helicopter. I know the mic doesn't pick up all of that, but that was very, very loud and very close. But yes, no, her parents, like, you are literally an angel. So yeah. Oh my gosh. Speaking of, I had two parents contact me this week. One of them texted me. She's like, hey, so and so really just wants to, you know, check in on you, make sure you're okay. Like, can we FaceTime? And I'm like, absolutely, you can. And so they FaceTimed me and I got to talk to one of my girls and she just looked so pretty. And I was like, oh my gosh, I miss you so much. And then a couple of days later, another parent emailed me on my personal email. And it was my student telling me that she loves me and she misses me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I love you so much. And her mom was also like, you know, I work in this ISD. You know, if you want to continue to teach, I got you. And I was like, thank you, girl. But I'm okay for now. And if things do change, I will happily reach out. So yeah, it's just, oh. I love knowing, feeling, seeing the impact that I've made and that I'm making with those babies. Although I don't want to continue to be in the classroom, I really, really did enjoy the bonds that I made with those kids. And I learned so much from them, and I am so grateful to have been a part of their educational journey. And I honestly hope that they reach out to me. When they graduate, like when they're older and they check in, they're like, I wonder what Miss Yasmin is up to, or even if I find them and I reach out, like would they be, you know, excited to hear from me? I would hope so. So yeah, I went on a few tangents this episode, lost my train of thought a few times. Just yeah, it was a whole lot. But as per usual, did I enjoy it? Absolutely. Well, guys, that has been this episode of Healed Adjacent. Follow your girl at Healed Adjacent Podcast on Instagram. You can also follow me at underscore dot Yazzie, YASSIE dot G on Instagram as well. That's my personal Instagram account. On TikTok, I'm there. I am there at That Girl Yasmin, THTGRLYASMINE. And on that note, I bid you adieu.